It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we have, I can't remember using the word stasis so often in my notes as I did this past week and probably the week before. But if you may recall, early March, warm 50s, 60s, snow gone. The ice went out on Crooked Lake. McGuire Lake was ice-free. Shingabee Lake. These are lakes that I have observers on and know. And I think Heidi even had the ice out on Pools Bay in Pacagama. It was a lot of open water. And then everything came to a stop. It got cold. And we got snow. By the way, I measured that whole total snowfall at 9 inches. And there wasn't 9 inches on the ground. There was about 7 at my house. And it ended up being about, 3 inches yesterday for the most part. It was pretty close. So I figured it had compacted. A lot of it had compacted, and it kind of settled, but it was a wet snow to begin with. I mentioned last week that I had had 68 hundredths of an inch of moisture in the first batch of snow. In the second batch of snow, I got another 56 hundredths of an inch. So in total, that snowfall that we got last week came out at just under an inch and a quarter of water. So it was wet, and that water was welcome. And it fell on what was largely, I won't say thawed ground, but for the most part, the ground was not frozen. And a lot of that water is not running off, it's running in. And that's a good thing. This time of year, typically the snow is melting, ground is frozen, and we get a lot of little vernal ponds. And those vernal ponds this time of year turn out to be really worth your while to examine. It won't be long, and the wood frogs and the boreal chorus frogs and the spring peepers will be occupying vernal ponds to do their calling, and you will begin to hear them generally. In an average year, that would be mid-April, I think the 16th, if I remember correctly, for the wood frog and the boreal chorus frog. But that typically takes place mid-April in those vernal ponds. But until then, and any spot where there's a little bit of water in the woods, and I used to, on the mail route, I'd be driving along and I'd see these little lowland spots in the woods where there might be ash, or it just might be a kind of a low spot that fills with water. And I would look very carefully in there. And oftentimes the thing that I would see is the wake. I would see a little ripple in the water and I would realize, oh, there's a duck in there. And if you follow that wake up to its point, you'll see. Sometimes it'll be a wood duck, sometimes it'll be a teal, sometimes it'll be a mallard. Well, this last week, yesterday, in fact, I saw a mallard on a little vernal pond, and that was my first one of the year. But it reminded me that this is the time of year that you want to sort of pay attention to those little water holes. And something like a wood duck, you look at a wood duck in the bird book and you think, how could something that gaudily colored evade my eye? Well, it can, and it does. And so if you're driving by those things, look for the little ripple. Look for, like, the duck is going to be moving. It's going to be like, oh, I got to get out of here. That guy's coming by in a car. And the duck is going to move, and you will see the ripples. And if you follow that little V back to its point, you will find the duck. And oftentimes it's a gorgeous duck, because this time of year, when the puddle ducks come back, they come back full breeding plumage. They have already done their breeding for the most part. There'll be a few unbred ducks that will, there will be some courtship, but not much. Most of the courtship between the puddle ducks, those dabbling ducks, happens before they get to this part of the state. It happens in Minneapolis, or it happens in Iowa, or it happens in Missouri, somewhere south of here. But they get up here and they are all decked out in their nuptial plumage. They are as gaudy and as handsome as they are going to be for the rest of the year. And they are absolutely stunning to look at. The mallards are beautiful. The wood ducks, the hooded mergansers, all of them are just absolutely stunning. So take a little time, check out some of those little ponds, see if you don't come across something like that. And if you do, well, enjoy the scene, because it's going to be really a pretty, pretty sight. Among the other birds I've been in contact with this last week, red poles, goldfinches, around the bird feeder, it's been the red poles, goldfinches, pine siskins, nuthatches, red and white, and all the woodpeckers. I've got downy, hairy, pileated, and red-bellied right now. I'm going to be watching for flickers. They're going to be coming into the area before too long. And so keep an eye out for your first flickers. And, of course, the yellow-bellied sapsuckers will be coming in. They are all woodpeckers, and they're going to be in the area. So get a chance, check those out. I mentioned that Crooked Lake, the lake I live on, the ice went out and came back in. I checked yesterday. Yeah, there's a, you might have been able to squeeze a tennis court in the open water that's on my lake. It was narrower than a tennis court, but longer, but not a lot of open water there. And there were two Canada geese standing on some sort of a vegetative little island, kind of a high spot among the weeds. And there were a pair of trumpeter swans there as well. So those two, I have trumpeter swans that nest on the lake. And this past winter, when the ice was on the lake, thick ice was on the lake, I went out and found the trumpeter swan nest and enjoyed looking at that big mound of vegetation, almost 3 feet tall and about 2 feet across at the top. But if you look at a trumpeter swan, you realize they need a pretty big house. They're a pretty big bird. I also saw a flock of crows. Now, you may say, well, what's that? You know, typically the crows that spend the winter up here, and there are some that do, they just kind of hang out in little family groups, maybe four, five, six at a time. This flock was close to 20, and my suspicion there was that these were birds that had gone south for the winter and were now returning to northern Minnesota. This time of year is a good time of year to keep an eye out on crows. If you see them flying by, watch and see if they're carrying a stick in their beak. The male crow will pick up a stick and fly to the female. And the message there is, shouldn't we be starting a house? Shouldn't we have a nest getting built here somewhere? And that is something that happens this time of year, and you'll want to keep an eye out for that. I had my first turkey vulture of the year yesterday. I had my first robins and red-winged blackbirds last Friday, right in the middle of that, well, toward the end of that snowstorm. Actually, the red-winged blackbirds were there on the 26th, and it was snowing hard when they showed up. I couldn't believe it. Here, the two red-winged blackbirds show up at my bird feeder out of the snowstorm, and I thought, boy, I bet you're happy you came north. But robins are around, red-winged blackbirds. I wouldn't be surprised. Usually on a Tuesday morning, I'll come in kind of 5:30, 6 o'clock-ish, and just getting light, and I'll hear a robin singing. And I got out of the car this morning, and I really thought, today I'm going to hear a robin singing. But I didn't. But you will very soon. They are very close to that stage. And they will be beginning to sing, which is a claim for territory, so watch and listen for that. The robins were back not the earliest ever, and the red-winged blackbirds were 2 days later than average for me. So it's been, you know, as far as, like I say, if you went back to the 1st of March and sort of compared, The weather then, I would have expected the earliest ever red-winged blackbird, earliest ever robin, you know, that sort of thing, killdeer, flickers, those kinds of birds that all sort of come back about the same time. I would have expected that, but then the cold weather slapped us back and sort of been sitting there kind of idling along ever since. So that's kind of where we're at on that end. Couple of other notes about birds. One, ruffed grouse. The other night I was sitting in my easy chair in the broad daylight. It's probably 6:30 at night and light out. And I looked up in a big male aspen out in my front yard, and there are four ruffed grouse up there eating the buds. Now, they're, as near as I could tell, they were eating the flower buds, which are those big fuzzy catkins that are on the aspens right now. The trembling aspens have these big, they're approaching an inch to maybe an inch and a quarter. They'll be 3 inches by the time they're done extending. But the ones that I looked at yesterday were, if you go up, if you have an aspen with low branches and you go up and look at that big fuzzy catkin, you will see these little red bumps that are down underneath the fuzz, and those are the flower heads. They're not blooming yet. Everything I looked at yesterday had not begun to bloom, but they will be blooming very soon, and in the next day or two, I wouldn't be at all surprised if, for those of you who have a little bit of hay fever, you might find that there's going to be pollen in the air very soon, and part of that pollen is speckled alder, but we'll get to that in a minute. I wanted to, besides the ruffed grouse, I wanted to mention the bald eagle, and it has been, I want to say a fascination, but it's more than a fascination. It's an absolute concern for the bald eagles with this storm that came through. I was just terribly afraid that their nest would be destroyed by the cold. And the reason for that is that in 22 and in 23, both late springs, both springs with strong, heavy snow and cold weather right in the middle of the brooding time for these eagles. And in the last 2 years, 22 and 23, the eagles abandoned the nest. In fact, it was a year ago today that I saw both eagles in flight around the nest. And it told me that their nest had failed, that they were no longer tending eggs, that if there were chicks or if there were eggs in there, they had not been successful, and they were abandoning the nest. And so 2 years in a row, nest abandonment. So I had like 4 or 5 notes about eagles this past week, including a couple of notes from during the right in the middle of that heavy snow, and looking up in there and seeing her kind of hunkered down on the eggs. Yesterday, as I walked by, she had her head up out of the nest. She was watching me, and after about 5 minutes, I walk out to the lake, kind of skirting the nest area, trying to stay as far away from it as I can. And she watched me for about 5 minutes of what is probably a 10-minute walk. And then she either got bored or realized I wasn't a threat, and she just hunkered down and went back to brooding her eggs. She laid her eggs, as near as I can tell, right around the 1st of March, which would mean that they are due to hatch sometime in the next few days, because it's a 34 to 35-day incubation period for eggs. And we all know from listening to the phenology show that eagles lay their eggs sequentially and brood them from the first moment. So she lays an egg, she starts brooding. That's going to make that egg a day or two ahead of the next egg, and a day or two ahead of any subsequent eggs. They usually only lay 2, but sometimes they'll lay 3. And that means that one of the babies is going to have a head start over its brother or sister. And that advantage plays out through the life of the nestlings. And if mom and dad are really good hunters and the food supplies are available, both those eagles will make it to adulthood. If the food supplies start to lag, or mom and dad are kind of inexperienced at this mom and dad kind of thing, then, you know, they might only bring in enough food to feed one. And if that's the case, they're not going to split it equally between the two. They're going to feed the biggest eagle because that's just how that works. So, as I said, I have been watching the bald eagles very, very closely, and I am hoping and praying that they are successful because it's been a long 3 years since they've had young in their nest. Among the plants that I've been watching, I talked a little bit about the aspen. The trembling aspens are just the males right now. You cannot miss them. You can just look up in the trees. If you see a whole bunch of big fuzzy flowers up there, that is probably a male trembling aspen. I looked at the females yesterday that I have on my route that I check regularly, and there are flowers there, but they are small and reduced and a bit like a pussy willow right now. They're not nearly as big and as showy as the flowers on the males. The male flowers are right on the cusp of budding, of flowering, and they will be throwing pollen. The female flowers will be ready. They are smaller to begin with, but then they will catch up, and pretty soon you'll see these long, dangly green catkins. You may recall in the student reports this morning, the kids from Little Falls were saying that the catkins, the male catkins, had fallen off of the aspen trees down in Little Falls. So they're well past flowering down there. And I suspect that a week from now, probably around the 7th or 8th of April, we'll probably see the male aspen flowers falling out of our aspens. But we will see, and it'll be interesting to note. The big tooth aspen, if you have aspen in your yard that show no signs of flowers, no small pussy willow flowers on the females, no big heavy fuzzy flowers on the males, they're probably big tooth aspen. They are not yet budded. The ones in my yard, the buds are still tight. That's normal. They usually run about 3 weeks behind the trembling aspen. The balsam poplars, the buds are swollen, but nothing open yet. And when they open, they'll have the same kind of flower, that same fuzzy flower. And so keep an eye out for that. And speaking of pussy willows, willows and aspens, by the way, are in the same family. They're not in the same genus, but they're in the same family. And pussy willows are open. And I just came back from the Twin Cities this last weekend, and there were pussy willows all along the way, and you could see them plainly from the car. Easy to spot right now. They are not yet mature. I looked at some yesterday very closely. The male catkins there are quite large, but no sign of any flowers down inside. And the flowers on those typically are yellow rather than the red of the aspens. But they will break open, and you will see when they are ripe, when the pussy willows are throwing pollen, you will notice, because the pussy willows themselves will be bright yellow, and that is not where we are at yet. Walking around my yard, I had a look at the lilac bush. If you're looking at your lilac bush right now, the buds are probably bright green. They were bronze until about a week ago, and now they've become quite green in color. But that is not bud burst. Bud burst is when the widest part of the emerging leaf is away from the bud. And that's particular and peculiar to lilac. So if you're looking at a birch, bud burst is when that little tip of the bud shows a little dot of green. And the same thing is true of tamarack. It's true of nannyberry. It's true of any of the other plants you're looking at. When that bud is bursting, there is a little tiny dot of green at the end. But in the case of the lilac, the whole bud gets green, and then it begins to open. And they don't call it bud burst until the widest part of the leaf is separated from the bud itself. Only in the case of the lilac, though. Speckled alders, every one I whacked yesterday gave off a bunch of pollen, so they are at their peak of flower right now. I looked at the nannyberry. Nannyberry is a kind of a lowland plant. It's got a fairly tasty berry on it in the fall. The flower is hidden right now inside the bud, and the bud is kind of swollen at the base, and it has this long sort of sinuous kind of a bud that hangs, that sticks up markedly, and it looks like the flame on a candle, sort of a windblown flame on a candle, and that's the nanny berry, so make sure you check those out as well. Finally, my silver maple. And I mentioned the word stasis when I started. The silver maple of like the 12th of March had open flowers. And the same flowers that were open on the 12th of March are open, were open yesterday, I suspect are open this morning, but no others. So I checked that tree quite, there's a branch that, a couple of branches that hang down low in the yard, and I look at those, and then I climb up on my upper deck, and on the upper deck I can be amongst the branches again, and in that area, no flowers, and that's exactly what I've been seeing for the last 18 days, so not much of a response yet. And that's the nature of it. I mean, when it's, you know, they when it's warm, they're going to try and throw out a flower. And as soon as it gets cold, they just stop. It just shuts down. If there's a little bit of, in this case, they're stigmas. They're the little female parts that are sticking out. They just halt. They just wait there until it warms up again, and then they'll begin to expand. And I think that time is very close at hand. So keep your eyes out, and I will be talking to you again in a week or two, and we will compare what's happening then. That's the Phenology Show for this week.
At 7:45, you can get even more nature information by going to our website, kexc.org, and sign up for that season watch newsletter.